from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, Bay Area Democratic Congresswoman Anna Eshoo will join us to talk about the Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump, and she'll take your questions. Then at 9:30, the homeless mothers who formed the activist group Moms for Housing and took over a vacant home in West Oakland are now set to purchase the home through Oakland's Community Land Trust per a new agreement announced Monday by Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf. At a rally following the announcement, Moms for Housing organizer Dominique Walker vowed to continue the fight for affordable housing in Oakland.
We will not stop organizing and fighting until all unhoused folks who want shelter have shelter.
Yes.
That's all next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Oral arguments begin today in President Trump's impeachment trial, and as House managers are set to present their case that Trump abused the power of the presidency and obstructed Congress in his dealings with Ukraine. Today's arguments follow yesterday's bitter exchanges on the Senate floor, after which lawmakers, along partisan lines, passed the rules that will govern the trial. Joining us in the studio now to talk about the trial is South Bay Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, and we'll also hear about her work as chairwoman of the Health Subcommittee and the online privacy legislation she introduced in the fall. What questions do you have for the Congresswoman? You can give us a call right now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you have to forum@kqed.org. Welcome back to Forum. Congresswoman Eshoo, good to have you with us.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, on the Democratic side, what we're hearing in the wake of the impeachment is it's a cover-up. It's rigged. The whole trial is rigged. President Trump comes back and says it's a hoax. And it shows, just as the votes have shown, just how partisan things are. And yet, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air about how Congress is still getting legislation done. You worked out a partisan bill on robocalls with a senator from South Dakota and a Republican senator. And the fact of the matter is that partisanship is in the extreme right now that we're seeing, but nevertheless, there's work going on in Congress.
There is, and thank you for pointing that out. In the 2019, the first half of the 116th Congress, we worked very hard to legislate across many areas. In my case, because we're now in the majority, I chair the Health Subcommittee in the House, very important, powerful subcommittee. Overall, we sent approximately 400 bills to the Senate, 275 of them bipartisan. This is not something that the American people are very aware of, because most of the coverage of the Congress centers in and around conflict.
Well, most people think somehow that work isn't being done.
But it is.
There's a lot of time that's being spent, certainly in the halls of the Senate right now. But there's a feeling also that, and that's Sean Thune, by the way, I want to mention the name of the senator from South Dakota that you worked out a bipartisan bill on robocalls, an important thing called the TRACE Act, which President Trump has actually signed. We can, time permitting, talk about that. But let's talk about what's going on now in Washington. And there is a lot of conflict. Chief Justice had to come in the other day and say, you know, stop. This is not, to both sides, this is too uncivil. This is an august place you're in. You shouldn't be talking this way to each other.
Well, I didn't get to hear that part of it. I know that the Chief Justice chided one of the House managers and one of the president's attorneys. Of course, there is heavy debate and divisions in the country because impeachment is a rarity in our country. This is only the third time in our over 200-year history that impeachment is being taken up. I was in the Congress when impeachment proceedings went forward with President Clinton, and in many ways it really tore at the fabric of our country. So I'm not surprised that there are the divisions that that exist. Having said that, it is also grave It's profound. And the two articles of impeachment, which I voted for in the House, center in and around two grave issues. One, obstruction of Congress, and the other, abuse of power. I'm troubled by how the trial has been constructed by the majority leader in the Senate. And I say that because I don't know of a courthouse or a trial that has taken place in our country that doesn't have witnesses and evidence that is manifested in documents. And that's what's being prohibited in the trial. So if at the end of the back and forth, the presentations by the seven House managers and the president's attorneys, they won't have 16 hours, they won't have 16 minutes, they won't have 16 seconds to question what witnesses say if there aren't any witnesses, and they won't be able to debate or ask questions about any documentation. Now, the documentation manifests itself in emails and communications and formal communications, in notes, etc. So I think that that is – it's deeply troubling, and it's troubling because it sets a precedent for future presidents that can essentially say what this president has said. I can do anything I want.
What about the argument, though, that you hear from the GOP that the real concern with precedent is that the bar for impeachment will be too low, that suddenly you're setting in motion, in other words, impeachments that will take place along partisan lines, as they argue this is taking place along partisan lines?
Well, the first thing that I would say about that is that the president's attorneys are not debating the substance of the articles. And that really says something to me. I think that when the framers drew up the Constitution in all of its elegance and established three co-equal branches of government, in fact, if the Congress, which is an Article I institution, they wrote that first. They wrote us into the Constitution first. If that co-equal branch of government cannot function in its oversight, in having subpoenas honored, then it is rendered unequal. And that damages, takes down a co-equal branch of government. So it affects our republic. And that's where the seriousness of obstruction of Congress has to be taken seriously. Well, it isn't by the president and his team because it serves their debating points. But I worry and worry a great deal about this because of what the framers set up so that we would have a republic. And every step of the way, the administration has obstructed the Congress. That's not something that's made up. There's a full record of that.
And the argument that the Obama administration under Eric Holder would not also allow testimony or those to give testimony who were subpoenaed by Congress in Fast and Furious?
Well, I'm not suggesting that in each administration, whether it's a Republican administration or a Democratic administration, that they are perfect by any means. We're not. I mean, the institutions are made up of human beings, and we all bear the mark of humanity. But there has never been an administration, even in the Nixon administration, they came forward with the documentation. There was a fight that went to the Supreme Court to release the tapes, and then that brought the downfall of the president. In this case, I think obstruction of Congress is absolutely 100% clear. And it's been at the demand of the president that no one answer the subpoenas and that documentation would not be provided.
Talking with Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, she's a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. She represents California's 18th congressional district, and I'm going to quote her here in a speech that she gave where she said, and some of you may want to respond to this, there is a primal fear that the founders of this nation had that powerful members of our government would become, in Hamilton's words, these are not Lin-Manuel Hamilton. This is Alexander Hamilton we're talking about, not Miranda. Words, mercenary instruments of foreign corruption. So let me get our callers involved and lots more to talk about. I know many of you have questions for the Congresswoman, and if you do, we'll try to get your questions on the air here. But right now, we're talking about what you've been hearing on our air, certainly, the trial that is going on in Washington of President Trump. First caller is John. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thank you, Michael. From my point of view, hypothetically, Trump's going to skate and he's going to get out of this thing. And the Senate's going to run in his favor. How is it going to affect the election? Initially, I thought that the publicity, all the knowledge that what kind of a man Trump was would affect the, you know, the voters positively. But I'm hearing just the opposite on talk radio.
Lots of people wondering about that. I don't know if you have tea leaves, Congresswoman, but you want to give us your thoughts?
Well, thank you for the question, John. Actually, the answer is we don't know. I think that, number one, that not only is the president on trial, I think the United States Senate is on trial as well.
We do know, however, that 70% of the American people supposedly want witnesses.
We do know that. We do know that. American people, I believe, are very sensible. And as you said, over 70% believe that witnesses should be allowed to be part of the trial and that documentation should be allowed as well. Ultimately, the American people will be the jurors in this case, and that is at the ballot box. And that is this year, 2020, in November. Of course, California's primary has been moved back, March 3rd. And I don't know how many people know this, but everyone has the opportunity up to, I believe, February 18th to register to vote, to drop off their ballots, to mail them in. So jurors out there, exercise that magnificent manifestation of our democracy, and
like
that is to vote.
That idea of citizen jurors. And thank John for his call. And go right next to another caller. Rick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Congresswoman. Good morning. I'm the co-author of the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018, and I really applaud your efforts to create strong privacy legislation in Congress. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, what is your view on federal preemption of all the hard work that has been done in the legislature in California to create the strongest privacy protection law in the world? I'll be honest, our worry is that Congress might create legislation that preempts what has been done in California to protect Californians' privacy rights in a more weaker way than we've done out here. Tell me what your opinion would be on federal action in privacy and whether that would preempt the very strong law that we've passed out here in California.
Well, thank you for your question. It's an excellent one. Congresswoman Lofgren and myself, both representing Silicon Valley, spent all of last year, 11 months, working hard to draw up this bill because there's so many complexities to it. But we don't preempt. That is not in the bill. And so I think that that answers your question really directly. But there's a major consumer organization, and excuse me for not remember the name of it right now, but they have put out that we have that our legislation is the single strongest, boldest privacy legislation that's being offered in the Congress. So we're working hard to bring this to the fore, to bring bipartisan co-sponsorship to the bill, because we know that the system that we have now, people are so vulnerable And there are so many violations, and that Congress needs to address this. So thank you for calling in with your excellent question.
Yeah, let me thank Rick. And as long as we're getting questions away from what's going on presently with the trial in Washington, here's Dana who asks, and I know you've been very involved in this, Congresswoman. I would love to hear, she writes, Representative Eshoo's thoughts on federal and state cannabis policies as we enter into this new decade. Where does she stand on national legalization, testing cannabis for effects on the human body and medical use, CBD and the FDA? And that is something I believe you are very involved in.
I am, and I appreciate the question. About 10 days ago, I held the first ever in the history of the Energy and Commerce Committee a hearing on cannabis. Now, we know that 33 states have passed laws approving medicinal use of cannabis, and some other states have—
I think 11 for recreational.
I think 11 medicinal and recreational. The federal government and the states are about 1,000 miles apart. And because cannabis is listed as a Schedule I drug, along with LSD and cocaine, which I think is the wrong scheduling, there is the whole issue of the federal government blocking research on this. So researchers are really in a box. They go to the federal government and want to do more research on cannabis. The federal government controls very tightly at the University of Mississippi a certain plant, a cannabis plant. And
that's it, though.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so broadening out the research is really essential. Going back to my days on the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors between 82 and 92, I did the legislation for medicinal use of cannabis. That's a long time ago. It was highly controversial. But working with the medical society in San Mateo County, I was convinced that it was the right thing to do. So we have several bills that we're going to be taking up.
And excuse me, there's a big one coming up in New Jersey.
There is, yes. And the chairman of the full committee is now very interested in this because New Jersey is taking it up, and he is a member from New Jersey. So I have a long record on this. As I said, I believe that the scheduling needs to change and that there be serious broad research that's done, and that the federal government needs to recognize where the overwhelming majority of the states are and that we need to change this.
Have you seen the new research on cannabis that makes a direct link to cardiac problems?
I have.
And your thoughts?
Well, it's
doesn't impinge on legalization as far as you're concerned.
No, it doesn't. And there are other studies that point to readiness for our troops and the effect that it has on our military, if in fact they're using cannabis. So this is not to say that there aren't some downsides to it. But we need more research, and across the board, I've always been a champion for research, both at NIH, across our government, and certainly in the private sector as well.
Well, there's a pretty strong disconnect when you think the federal laws are the same and you have all this legalization going on
exactly.
around it.
That's why I said the federal government and the states are at least 1,000 miles apart. And I think that we need to do something about this gap.
And we'll take another caller. Diane joins us. Diane, hi.
Hi. I live in Oakland. I just want to know why I never hear anyone say that Trump himself was calling over and over and over again for witnesses and a fair trial when this was going on in the House. But no one ever mentions that he himself said he wanted witnesses.
He said it even recently as this morning. He's in Davos, and he was talking about, I'm glad. I would like to have Rick Perry called as a witness. I'd like Mitt Mulvaney. I mean, maybe rhetoric or may not be.
Well, he should have begun with himself because the House Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary Committee invited the president to come and testify, invited his lawyers to come and testify. In fact, they didn't show up. They chose not to, which is unfortunate for the American people. but also he blocked others in his administration to testify.
Rita
and honor the subpoenas that were issued by the Congress.
I'm just going to read a comment from a listener named Emma. It says, we have a Senate stonewalling the presentation of facts, a president caught in election meddling with a foreign country, and a Supreme Court justice looking the other way. I feel democracy and integrity in the federal government is crumbling before our eyes. What does Representative Eshoo think about this?
Well, I worry a great deal about our democracy, and I think that that it is undergoing a stress test, and so are many people in our country. They're deeply worried about our democracy, what we're witnessing. Where I draw my inspiration from are my constituents, because I see day in and day out really the marvelous things that people choose to do, working with community nonprofits, feeding hungry people, working on solutions that will help to make improvements in people's lives. I think that so many people don't realize the full power that they have. We have elections that are coming up. There are those that will vote to reelect the president. But there are many advocates doing extraordinary things, and every advocate has to turn into a voter. And so the power that is vested in the people, a government by and for the people, needs to be realized. And that's where my hopes ride, and that's what I'm inspired by.
Get a quick comment from you, though, since you mentioned power in elections. There are many that are deeply concerned about the election and the role of Facebook in the next election right in your backyard, Silicon
Valley. Well, I am too. I am too. It is a very sad thing to me that a CEO of a company would say, we are going to print lies. And
that's really what he said. Yeah.
Yes, that's what he said. And I don't know what we've come to that anyone would find that to be acceptable. So I'm working on it. I'm not ready to announce what the legislation, how the legislation will read. But I think that it needs to be addressed. I don't find that to be acceptable.
Seconds left. You want to give a message to your constituents and anybody who's listening about what may come out of the present trial or what you hope will come out of it?
More than anything else, I think that the American people will be the jurors, and that they listen carefully and that they draw from what has been presented to the American people. Deeply disappointing to me that that the Republicans have lashed themselves to the president. But we can go beyond that. People will draw their own conclusions, and they will be the jurors at the polls in America this year. And I have faith in that. I have faith in the decency and the goodness of the American people.
Well, we'll leave it there with your faith, and thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you with
thank
us.
You.
That's Congresswoman Ann Eshoo, who represents the 18th Congressional District. When we come back, we're going to talk about Moms for Housing. Stay tuned. That's up ahead.